We are so happy to have everyone here today, and we want to thank those who are joining us by the internet. We wish you were here, but we understand completely, and we are glad that you have come to worship with us today. And as a special note here, we have Carrie Martin with us that will be delivering today's message. So if you would please join us in singing our gathering chorus, number 174, His Name is Wonderful. And we're going to do it twice, Dean says. As you can tell, I'm not Jake Rendleman. I know, it's hard to believe. Apparently, Jake called in this morning and was unable to make today's service, so I'll carry him as well today. I mean, I've got Larry while he's gone, so I will we'll carry Jared. Do what? No. We would have a lot of problems there. Well, an awful lot of problems. Announcements for the week. This makes the point of where you should read everything that's been emailed to you. Unfortunately, I didn't pay a lot of attention to the announcements because I wasn't supposed to do those. So we want to remind you of the Lent and Holy Week services. This week is at our church, Wednesday Lenten service. Yeah, okay. Will be this week at our church at noon, if I remember right. Easter Sunday is April the 9th, and we also want to remind you that we're going to be celebrating Doris Kiesling's birthday on March 26th. She's throwing us a big party, so we can all come out.
The church is also looking for drivers for the van or bus, whatever you'd like to call it. It requires the J certification on your license, a Class C license, or a CDL. If you have any of those, the church office would like to see you and register you as a possible driver for the church bus. On the clipboards, the Young at Heart on the road, they're going to the Castle Ridge. I want to say Castle Rock for some reason. Going to Castle Ridge in Centralia. And I did look it up online, and people, they do have round tables. Women's Bible study starts this Thursday night at 6. Is it 6? 6:30? Having a merry heart in a Martha world. So all the ladies that would like to join in that Bible study, I'm sorry, men, you aren't invited. Birthdays this week is Nancy Wallace. Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? Yes. Well, they can't hear you online.
All right. Cannon Park walking group. And you can come talk to me. It's Wednesdays at 2:30. Not meeting if it rains.
Any other announcements that need to be made this morning?
Just to give you an update, Ray and I finally got back yesterday afternoon. It was a long week down there helping him take care of his sister. And she's still in the nursing home, but her stroke has gotten better to where she can use her left hand and she can use her left leg, but she doesn't have much feeling in it. So she's going to be there a while, and maybe indefinitely, we don't know. But we tried to clean out all of the personal stuff out of the house so that Ray can sell it and get some more money to help take care of her. And we loaded my car and that car up with a bunch of stuff and drove it back. So we made it back safely, and now we see what the next step is. Thanks.
Any other
Thanks for all your prayers, by the way. We appreciate that.
Any other announcements at this time? If not, Dean, would you begin our prelude? We will have the lighting of the candles. If at home you have a candle and you would like to light it, join with us as we bring the light of Christ into our worship. Call to worship. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. What shall I render to the Lord for all his bounty to me? If you would please stand if you are able and join in singing hymn number 131, We Gather Together.
Thank you.
We come to that time in our service that we share prayer requests and joys. I do remind you to look at the back of your bulletin for those ongoing prayer requests, as well as remind you that they are all on the screens that we have knowledge of. So at any time you can get that, and I'm sure they are on our website that you can get them from there as well. Are there any prayer concerns or joys that you would like to share today? Janice?
I'll go while the mic's making its way. Just a little brag moment. So yesterday was high school solo and ensemble contest. Got to see Sam there too. We were judging different ensembles or solos, events and things. And so Olivia was had four events. I didn't get to see any of them live because I was judging in another room. But she had vocal solo, baritone solo, piano solo, and a vocal quartet, and received superiors in all of them.
Oh, great.
So I guess she's resting today because obviously I'm alone up here.
Janice.
I have a joy and a prayer request. My joy is to have Carrie Martin and his lovely wife here. I'm thrilled that he agreed to speak to us today, but on a personal note, he was probably one of the best teachers that my daughter Brooke ever had. And so I will always be grateful. You gave her the love of learning. Let's see. The prayer request, I received a text from Teresa Gilbert. She asked me to let you know, if you remember a few weeks ago, Larry had asked for prayers for a good friend of theirs, Ron Mutadir, that he was nearing the end of his life. He did pass away this week, and so she asked for prayers for his wife Sally and their family. She said that he was one of the kindest, most giving men that they had ever known. So thank you.
Are there others?
Sandra Conjardo asked me to ask for prayers. And if you could also drop some cards in the mail for Robert. He's been transferred to Bounce Back at Parkway. His lungs are clear, so he's improving there, but he's pretty weak. And after he gets released, then he has to deal with the heart issues. So prayers and cards appreciated.
Are there others?
In the morning, I am going to have a procedure done. It's a lesion on my head that is malignant. And they're going to have to, I've had this before, it's not a big deal, but I just want you to know that I'm having it done, and keep me in your prayers, please. Thank you.
If my memory serves me right, I think Phil Gillespie's having a surgical procedure Tuesday?
I believe it's Tuesday.
Tuesday. And I'm also going to have an outpatient same-day surgery procedure done Tuesday.
I don't know if any of you have heard about the Jonathan Wingate accident. Carterville kid here, 21 years old, got in a bad car wreck. Has been up in St. Louis fighting for his life the entire time, and this is kind of a joy and continued prayer. He has started on his road to recovery. He's a really good kid. Know him through another church family that I've been associated with over the years, and he's got a long road to recovery, but he is off the ventilator, off the trach, and doing better. But he's got a long recovery ahead with a major brain injury that he's going through. So I just want to lift that family up in prayer too. His mother's name is Melissa. His sister's name is Amanda. And his name is Jonathan.
Are there any others? If not, I pray that we would be in an attitude of prayer. If you'd like to join me at the rail, you may do so. Dean's going to play some soft music as we take a few moments of silence before our prayer.
Thank you.
thank you for this time that we can gather together to worship, to praise, and just to fellowship with each other. Lord, we pray for this church and the ministry that it has before it. Lord, we pray for this church and its influence in this community, that it might be a shining star to all of those who see us. Lord, we pray for those in our midst who have lost loved ones this past week. We pray that you would comfort them and fill their lives and help them to appreciate the blessings and the joys that they have shared with that individual this past lifetime. Lord, we pray for those who are having surgery in our midst this coming week. Lord, we pray that you would guide the surgeon's hands and that you would give speedy recovery to all of those involved. And Lord, most of all, give them comfort. We pray for those, Lord, who have been involved in accidents either recently or in the past few weeks. Lord, we thank you for their recoveries. And Lord, we pray that they just might continue and bless their families, Lord, as they go through this time struggling. And be with those in our midst who have been traveling, Lord. We pray that you just might bring them back safe to us. And Lord, we pray for our country, our state, and our community, that we might reflect the true love of God to all mankind. Lord, give our leaders the wisdom to take us into the path of righteousness. Lord, we thank you for Kerry Martin this morning. Lord, we ask that you'd bless him and use him and be with him as he brings the message to us today. And Lord, fill each and every one with your Holy Spirit and help us to receive the message you have sent. And Lord, we pray that you just might help us to become better people and better Christians. Lord, we thank you for your Son who has taught us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you would please turn in your hymnals to page number 424. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? It is truly a blessing for us today to have Carrie with us. Now, some of us probably will struggle not using the term coach in front of that, but he is here to enlighten us and to give us a coaching lesson for today. So, Carrie, if you would please, don't forget to turn your mic on.
Check.
There we go.
Well, it is an honor and a privilege and a blessing to be asked to speak to you today, and I take this very seriously. This is a big deal to me. Fortunately, I speak quite a bit, and I'm glad I get to, but a lot of times it's about motivation or football or something like that. But when I stand here in front of a congregation, it takes on special meaning. Because I'm no better equipped to do this than many of you. The only thing I can offer you is some insight from a fellow member of a congregation, give you some thoughts I have, some things that have stirred in my spirit, and what the Lord has done in my life on these occasions. And so thank you for the warm welcome and the invitation. If every student was like Brooke, and by the way, students like Brooke make teachers like me look really good, okay? So... That's the truth. So you give me a lot of credit, but that was an easy one. So I've had some challenges, though. So some great memories here. This church welcomes me this morning. Yeah, Derek, I got you, buddy. I didn't leave you out. The Bogard boys, and I know, I got it. So the Johnsons, so it's everywhere. So I feel blessed, and I, like I said, I just want to share some things with you. This church welcomed my family when we moved here in 1994, and you welcomed me again today, Tracy and I, and we are privileged to be here. I had a friend recently stir my spirit. You know, I saw there's a ladies' group meeting, and I think that's amazing. I did a men's breakfast yesterday in downtown Marion, which is a blessing, and it's called Iron Sharpens Iron. We've all heard that phrase. It is true, the people of a church, the people of this ministry of Jesus Christ need each other. Worship is about a collectivism, that we need to work together and hold each other accountable and share with each other. I had a friend, a very good friend, share a book with me, and I had no idea. When someone offers you or shares a book with you, the obligation is you got to read it. And so he kept asking, have you started the book? Have you started the book? And to be honest, I really had other books in line ahead of his. Finally, I said, okay, I got to say I've started the book to make him happy. So I put the other books aside, and I started his book, and what a blessing it was in my life. And it was a book about prayer, but it led me kind of on a journey that I'm still on, about the power of prayer and what prayer means and where my prayer life was and where the prayer lives of other men are at this time. I go to a men's breakfast once a month, and one month I had the privilege of leading it, and I did it on prayer. And I went around the room, I asked the men, introduce yourself and tell us where your prayer life is right now. And to be honest with you, I was stunned. I was stunned by the challenges that men in our community, godly men, were having in their prayer life. So I felt good because I was having the same challenges. One man shared the idea that he said, I pray with my daughter every night. And we're like, oh, that's awesome. That's great. And he said, she stopped me the other night in the middle of it and said, Dad. She's like 8 years old. She said, Dad, you say the same words every night. And I thought that was interesting that a child would notice, Dad, it's becoming kind of just something we're doing. But is there more than that? It stirred him. It stirred all of us at the meeting. But I left there with the good news. I wasn't alone. But the bad news was I was not alone. That I knew that we need to dig deeper into our prayer lives, because prayer is so important in our relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible mentions or alludes to prayer 650 times, so it's pretty important. We know the importance of Jesus' ministry in prayer. And I say these things today because all of these things I'm going to talk to you about are most of them I'm guilty of, so I'm not here telling you I've got it right, because I don't. I'm here just to share some thoughts that maybe, like the book and my friend, stirred my spirit, maybe it will stir yours as well. I'm afraid that many of us, including myself, have domesticated prayer, simplified it, reduced it, and marginalized it. We are praying for you is a phrase we often say, and we do that. People outside this church and these churches we belong to are now criticizing those words. Have you all heard that? It's not enough to say, I'm praying for you. They want more than that. And I'm here to tell you, there is nothing greater we can do for one another than praying with and for each other. But I understand that people outside the ministry of Jesus Christ wouldn't understand that. Think about your priority. Think about your priorities and your time. Think about what do you pray about? Think about what you pray for. Do you journal your prayers? Tracy and I led a Sunday school class for years, and this was by accident we started a prayer journal, to be honest. Each day we had these booklets that our class bought, and we went through them together, and then each week we would go through and ask what are the prayer requests, and we would write them down, and the next week we would do a lesson and ask for prayer requests, and we would write them down. Years after we were done teaching the class, I was getting into a buffet we have, and I found some of the old books that we used. And I just grabbed them and opened them up, and they brought back some really good memories of our class and the people in there, and many of whom I still see, some I don't. And I looked in there, and there at the end of each lesson were the prayer requests we offered each week. It was a prayer journal that I didn't even realize I had been keeping, and it was powerful. Because what I realized was how many of those prayers had been answered. And it kind of shamed me to think that maybe I've not been as grateful to acknowledge when those prayers were answered. Thanking God Almighty that we prayed as a class and we joined hands and we bowed our heads and we prayed for these things. And many of them came true at that time or over time. Many of them I didn't know had come true in the time they did, but later on realized it. Maybe I wasn't as thankful as I should have been. But it's opened my heart. It's opened my heart again to prayer, and I needed something to stir me, and this certainly has done it. And I begin to wonder about my own prayer life and did some self-evaluation, some analysis. And why do my prayers seem to are lacking in boldness? Am I praying too small? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which called my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. So why do I pray small? Well, I did some research in the book, another book I've currently jumped into. And I did some research from some pastors and interviewed some people and talked to some friends. And I came up with a very short list of why do our prayers lack boldness? Why do my prayers lack boldness? And here are some theories pastors and others have. That we've limited God. We've limited God and we have failed to see the full scope of His omnipotence. We've reduced God down and we've kind of humanized Him in many ways. One man said, we don't see many miracles anymore because we don't pray with the faith that's required to make them come true. Sometimes I think we have limited prayers because we feel unworthy. Maybe our lives are in a place where we think, well, the Lord's not going to answer prayers that bold and that big if I'm not perfect. I'm not in the right place spiritually. Maybe we're not focused on exactly who we're praying to. Are we praying to a God that we believe hung the stars in the sky and made the heavens? If so, how would that change? If you truly believe that, how would that change what you're praying for and what you believe your prayers are capable of creating? Prayer requires us to listen. Listening is not something many of us do well. We're real good at talking, but we're not great at listening. And sometimes prayer isn't just talking, but it's waiting on the Lord to speak to you. And that can be a very challenging part of prayer, because silence makes us uncomfortable. Get a little uncomfortable right there? It does. There's a famous, you know, we just got done with the Super Bowl, and I know every time I speak, they're going to say, you're going to bring up history and football at some point. It is true. halftime performances in the Super Bowl are a big deal. One year they got Michael Jackson to do it. I don't know if you remember this, but, you know, Michael Jackson was this, you know, the amazing entertainer that he was. And he, I think if I remember right, he popped up in the middle of the stage. He didn't, you know, they're waiting on him. The band is up there. The halftime stuff's been set up. And Michael pops up, you know, in his Michael Jackson stance. And Michael did something really, really interesting. He paused and didn't move. He was frozen. Now, the Super Bowl is charging millions per second, right? Like, every second matters. Everything's timed up. Michael's just standing there. And behind the scenes, the producers are screaming, what's he doing? What's he doing? We got to go. We got to go. Michael didn't move. But it created something. It created a tension, a feeling, right? And then when he broke into the music, the crowd just went crazy, right? But we're not comfortable in silence. I'm not comfortable in silence. Sometimes we have a conversation. You ever notice we don't like the conversation to end? Someone else needs to speak next and keep that thing going. Prayer requires silence. Maybe that's why we don't pray like we should. We've humanized prayer into things that we think we can accomplish or we could, but we need God's help. Maybe we don't pray like we should because we fear they'll go unanswered. We want to protect God in some way. We want to protect our faith because we're afraid that if we ask this in God's name and God doesn't do it, somehow he will be harmed, our faith will be harmed. If we tell people we prayed for something and it didn't come out like we thought, we've injured our witness. And sometimes we think maybe we're just asking incorrectly. I'm not sure how to pray, so I don't. We worry about the words, the sequence, the order, our Bible knowledge. We worry about our past. We worry about our present. The key is just pray. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Sometimes I think we pray in a very meager manner because our prayer is not as important as the needs of others. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt ashamed to pray for something that seems small compared to some of the major concerns other people have? James 5:13 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. We need to not just pray for things we need, but pray and thank God with an attitude of gratitude. Have you ever been afraid to pray? And this is a slogan they use. Pastors use this, and I didn't know this till I did the research. Because people fear the African mission trip. When you ask God, use me any way you want to, but just don't send me on an African mission trip, right? Have you ever feared that? Have you ever been like, I want to give my life to Christ, but I've got some conditions. No overseas trips, no third world nations, no trip to the Philippines, just right here. What can I do in Carterville, Illinois, right? There's a story that talks about when the 1850s were here at a very tumultuous time in American history. The Civil War is just a few years away. And there was a battle over the issue of slavery. And there was a battle between those who wanted to preserve the institution and those who wanted to abolish it. And one of the most prominent families was a minister family, a preaching family that were staunch abolitionists, and they were fighting against it, and they were talking about the evils of it and the sins of it, and the South must relinquish slavery, and even some situations where some bloodshed arose in this country, including out in Kansas and the Kansas Territory. And this family supported the uprising there for the side of the anti-slavery cause. They even sent Bibles in crates that said Beecher's Bibles on them, and they sent them out there, but they weren't Bibles, they were rifles. This was a tumultuous time. A young member of that family, a young lady, begin to pray what she could do because her father and her uncle and her brothers were deeply involved in this abolition ministry. And she said, what can I do? A young woman in the 1850s, what can I do? And she prayed the Lord to use her in some way, and she began to have dreams. And in those dreams, she dreamt a story. And she began to write down her story that she dreamed. It ended up being 45 chapters long. She published the book thinking, you've got to be kidding. This is it. Nobody's going to read this. The book was read. In fact, it was read by so many people, it became the second most read book in America, second only to the Bible. Her book was read by the Queen of England, who cried and wept when she read it. Her book was read by the President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Her book was read across the country. It was condemned in the South, but of course in the North, it changed hearts. It moved people into a different position on the institution of slavery. It personalized it for the first time. What was just an issue with unknown people and unknown faces became something. It was personalized. It was a fictional book, but her story resonated. She was known as Hattie Beecher. You know her better as Harriet Beecher Stowe. And the book was Uncle Tom's Cabin. And she prayed for God to use her. Boy, did he use her. When Abraham Lincoln invited her to the White House, they met, and Abraham Lincoln said to her, as they met, he said, so you're the little woman that caused such a great war. I don't know that slavery would have been abolished or the Civil War had been fought if it weren't for Harriet Beecher Stowe. God used this woman in the 1850s to change the hearts where speeches and sermons were doing some good. Her book had the greatest impact. And finally, I think prayer requires trust. And we live in a world that trust is hard to come by these days. In marriages, in the government, in business, in finance. We've seen infomercials that we couldn't wait to buy something to find out it wasn't as good as it was in the commercial. Y'all been there? Ponzi schemes and pyramid schemes, we lack trust in other people. And so I think that carries over into our trust of God in ways we don't even realize. But I do believe bold prayers honor God, and I believe God honors bold prayers. The last part of this I want to talk about is using these prayers to move mountains in your life. And I don't know what your mountain is, but I've learned that everybody's got one or two or more. And some of you I heard request prayer requests this morning, and those mountains are real. Job changes, job losses, finances, illness, medical treatments, surgeries, marriages, grief, an upcoming meeting, a family situation, rearing children, they're all mountains. And I don't know what your mountain is, but I know we have faced mountains in my lifetime, my life, and I can only share from that experience. I would encourage you, when a mountain comes into your life, to seek the counsel and advice of those around you. Iron sharpens iron. Find people who've had similar experiences, either in your circle or outside. Listen, call, interview them. Listen to a podcast, read a book, equip yourself. And most of all, the starting point when facing a mountain is to pray. Prayer is that primer for you. Matthew 21:22 says, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask in prayer. We have to know as we step forward towards that mountain, we believe that. Luke 1:37 says, the Lord God Almighty can do all things. There is nothing impossible for Him. Ask. Pray. I've learned some things about mountains from my own experience, which I'll share specifically one here in a second. But I want to tell you some mountain truths. When you're a person that's praying, and you pray a lot, and you pray for things, and you pray for the Lord's guidance and wisdom, and you listen to the Lord to speak to your heart, and none of these things I'm great at, but I'm working on it. When you do face a mountain, things change. When you've got a mountain in front of you, whatever that may be, I want to ask you, when does God qualify you to take that mountain on? And He qualifies you the moment you step forward. If you continue to stand back and not move, faith When you take that step forward, that's when faith, your faith is demonstrated, and watch the Lord qualify you. You may be more ready for that climb than you even know based on things that have happened in your past, based on your time in this church, based on your time in prayer that you've already spent. I want to challenge you. I want you to know this, that as you step forward, you will not go alone. Not only is your Lord and Savior with you, but the Lord is going to put people along the way. I've experienced that so many times. When I thought I was stepping alone, there were people along my way. 37 years, I've had one walk with me towards every mountain I've ever faced. What a blessing. I want you to know also, when you get to that mountain, the Lord will put people there as well, around that mountain, ready for that climb. I want you to know the mountain itself, on the journey there, you will become a changed person. I want to challenge you to remember the person you are standing facing, whatever your obstacle, whatever your mountain is, the Lord will change you. You will be changed by the experience of moving forward. This is difficult. James 1, 2 and 4, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy when you face trials, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It's tough to call trials pure joy. Was Moses the same man in front of Pharaoh as he was in front of the burning bush? He was not. He was a changed man. Were the disciples who were cowering in the upper room the same people that spread the gospel throughout the Middle East? I think not. Those were mountains they faced, and they were changed in the process of stepping forward and stepping up. Oftentimes, as we approach the mountain, we find out something glorious. The mountain we saw ahead of us was much smaller when we got there. Anyone had that experience? What a blessing. What we've built up to be something we can't overcome, and we get there and think, I got this. Sometimes there's a path up that mountain you can't see from a distance. You've got to get to the base of that mountain, whatever it is, and see the path that you didn't know existed. You may get there and find out it's not even a mountain you've got to climb after all. The situation between Abraham and Isaac as he went to sacrifice, when he got there, a mountain he thought he was going to have to climb ended up not even being one he had to task. And I want you to know that you're going to find that what these mountains oftentimes do is they draw us closer to the one we walk with. Daniel knew it. And Joseph knew it. And I want you to know that each mountain, though unique, once you climb one, strengthens your confidence and your faith to climb the next one. And what I've learned recently is it offers a testimony also that will be an encouragement to others who will face similar mountains. Prayer life and mountain climbing are intertwined. Prayer sets the vision. Prayer serves as the primer. Prayer reminds us of who walks with us every step of the way. And I want to share a mountain we had to climb very briefly in closing. About a year and a half ago, we lost our grandson. It was a mountain, and we had to climb it. And we didn't want to move forward. We were stunned, and we were shocked. But we knew we had to make a choice. We had to move forward. And the person that motivated us to move forward was none other than my daughter, who had just lost her son. And when we met to discuss the funeral arrangements, the Holy Spirit gathered with us in that meeting and encouraged us and encouraged through her to move forward. And it is not an easy step to take. We said in the church weeks after Walker passed, and songs were hard to sing. We sing a song at my church where God is good. God is good. And we say it repeatedly. And it was a difficult thing to utter at that time in my life. But after a few weeks, the Lord spoke to my heart at a service, sitting in the back of the church, feeling definitely sorry for myself, and maybe for good reason. The Lord spoke to my heart and let me know that congregation, we were in the back, seated in front of us, was full of grief too. And you're not the only one. There are people in this room who've suffered loss also, that are facing illness, that are facing financial ruin, that are facing divorce, that have faced abuse in their life. Move forward. Help some of these people out. Tough to do. So we prayed as we could. And I'm telling you, the words were hard sometimes, but we prayed. And I have to tell you, some of those prayers were bluntly honest. If you want to know what bluntly honest prayers are like, read the Psalms. David's pretty honest. But they changed us. And as I said, as you move forward, you change, and we definitely changed. It doesn't bring Walker back, but I've watched my daughter be a beacon of light for so many others and for becoming my hero. My wife, I've watched her faith grow in the midst of this mountain climbing that we've had to do. And my daughter decided at some point we've got to make Walker's life more than just a grieving period. We have to use it for something good. Today we do a 5K, 10K walk, partly in with some other groups for a foundation she started. So we'll take a few more steps up that mountain today. I've got his picture in my garage where I work out, and it's his little face with a sign above that says, helping people follow Jesus. Walker has a ministry. He's our little missionary. So today we take a few more steps, and I just want to share with you that people said to us, we're praying for you. And it mattered. And we felt it. And I've shared the story of a neighbor lady who walked by one day as we're saying goodbye to family shortly after Walker passed. And as she walked by, she waved like she always did, and very friendly and bubbly, and we waved back. And days later, she came back by and she said, oh my gosh, I saw you the other day. I saw your family leaving and I didn't know. I didn't know what happened. She's kind of a shy person. And she shared something I've shared before, but I think you need to hear it. And she said to us, I have to tell you something about that day. Your family or someone's family was leaving, and I waved and kept on my walk, and I had an overwhelming feeling that the Lord was there. I felt His presence, and I didn't know why. I know now why. People were praying for us. And what she did by telling me that story was let me know in the midst of not feeling Him being there, because you're going to feel that way when you face a mountain sometimes. It was such a beautiful thing to know that she felt Him there with us. We were not alone. My challenge today for you is just to re-examine your prayer life. Re-examine where it's at. I'm re-examining mine. And I'm finding out some beautiful things. And I'm praying more boldly. I'm reconsidering who I'm praying to. I'm preparing to take on mountains with greater courage. And this is never easy. I encourage you. You want to pray for something? Walk circles around it. Walk circles around this church. Walk circles around these schools. And pray as you go. There is no greater gift we can give to someone than to offer up their name in prayer. And I loved what I heard this morning. This is obviously a praying church, and you're doing that. I say keep going. Just pray. With renewed courage and energy, with enthusiasm and confidence, remember, it is not the mountains that we climb that matters. It's who climbs with us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the ministry of this church, and I thank you for this congregation, and I thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity. A humble, weak servant who doesn't have it figured out, but you gave a platform to share, to maybe help others. Lord, may you be heard today, not me. May your words resonate. May your scripture resonate with these hearts in this room. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. I praise your holy and righteous name. I continue to lift up those who are facing mountains today, Lord, whatever they may be. And may they find encouragement through a relationship with you. And may our prayer lives be reignited for the good of our own lives, our families, our communities, our schools, and our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.
If you would please stand and turn in your hymnals. Number 402, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian, verses 1, 2, and 3. Thank everyone for coming today. We especially want to thank Carrie, and we appreciate the message, and it gave us some good thoughts, and we appreciate that greatly. As we go this week, we need to think about what Carrie was talking about. The Bible says if we but have a grain, the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, we can move mountains. And he more or less talked about moving mountains in our own life. If you would please join me in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. And we thank you for the message that was given this morning and for the life that Carrie has lived and the influence that he has led upon so many people. Lord, we pray for this church and the people that are in it, that their lives may influence others as we go out into this world. Be with each and every one that is here today, and help them to be a shining light for you. For it's in thy Son's name we pray. Amen. God bless you all, and go out and move mountains.